live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I do not control the TV studio, but we get the Stanley Cup game on. I was serious earlier. I don't know if you asked. We haven't really had a chance to communicate. I want to hear, and I guess I can hear it after the show, but I would love to hear Alanis Morissette doing, we still don't know if she's doing just a Canadian national anthem or both at the game tonight. So she is Canadian. She could be pretty raucous. I'm not a grader of people who can sing the Canadian national anthem. I will dabble in that territory, though, with the U.S. national anthem.
The U.S. national anthem?
Aren't you a little
anthem?
Picky sometimes if someone's like
for
not
sure,
sounding great?
Because you need to be able to hit those notes, mm-hmm. baby, the high ones.
I think she can still sing. I think.
I mean, Griffin seemed like a fan, so I
really? Of Alanis
a fan.
Morissette? Kind of before your time. Nyzer Argos is in studio with us, Franchise Sports Media. Another hour here on Cofield and Company. Again, 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number. About 5 minutes away. 5 minutes away. I'll give away some tickets to a show in a couple weeks. Blink 182 is playing at T-Mobile. So that's coming up in less than 5 minutes. So, yeah, a lot of WNBA talk today. We'll get to the Aces and their resurgence. They're 8-6 now, playing better basketball. Chelsea Gray is back. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. Some more anger and angst around Angel Reese, who is becoming a pretty big star in the WNBA on and off the floor. She's pretty intriguing. And a little Belichick. We got to get the take on. I got a strong reaction at home when I was telling the significant other about Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend. Strong, strong reaction. Now, that kind of story is not crazy in the world of professional sports. Owners, coaches. I'm trying to think what the age difference was on Mike Zimmer had a girlfriend. I don't know if he married her, but she's about 35 years younger. We know, in spite of his wife's wishes, that Jerry Jones has dabbled in that territory. Which he shouldn't be doing if you're married. No doubt today, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy is reportedly fed up with Jerry Jones undermining him with the Cowboys.
What's new? this is like
what did you sign up
topic.
For, bro? Right?
What did you sign up for? And what will you may potentially be out of in the next 2 years, you know? I don't know about them Cowboys, all right? I don't think we're ever going to stop talking about this team.
Well, they have as many or more fans than anyone in the country. Giant budget team around the squad. All the money that Jerry Jones makes. Obviously, there is a cap, like in many sports. So Jones can only spend so much. You know, we were talking about the Aces and getting some help from a local government agency. I'm sure Jerry Jones, if he wanted to, you know, throw everyone more money with some outside sponsorship, you could do it. But it's the rules in the NFL. To me, I'll ask you this. Do you think we're at the end of the road soon with Jerry Jones? And again, I don't want to be bleak and depressing, but he's going to pass away at some point, right?
Yeah.
And then is that like, you don't want to root for that as a fan of a team.
Yeah.
I actually used to say that about the Yankees going back to the late 80s with George Steinbrenner because I was being driven nuts by him having his hand in personnel too much, and he'd be trading young guys for, you know, kind of mediocre and washed up veterans. I'm like, I can't take this anymore. Like, his heart's in a good place, but he didn't know what the hell he's doing. With Jerry Jones, he is meddling. So, you know, we know that. If you watch a reality show a couple of years ago on Amazon in season with the Cowboys, you could see Jerry Jones is there all the time, and it's just like dopey questions. Like, what? You're just wasting our time. I hope this changes when Stephen Jones, his son, takes over. But if you're a Cowboy fan, I wonder how much hope people have.
I'm sure you're frustrated, frustrated as the Raiders fans have been for years. And it's not even about, I would say, the money aspect with Jerry Jones. It's about the decisions that he is choosing to make, which leads into the money factor. All of the offseason moves that you didn't make, and then all of the offseason moves that you did make that didn't help in your favor.
He made two offseason moves, which I think is going to kill the Cowboys down the road.
Yeah. And how about the ones?
The two offseason moves that he made was not paying Dak Prescott.
Yep.
And not paying CeeDee Lamb. And when he has to do it, he's now going to have to go way above where he could have been. And I believe, and man, this is a lot of this is I believe, but I also hope that Dak Prescott, unlike other quarterbacks in the past, is just like, you know what? I'm not signing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a free agent. And then I'm sure Jerry Jones will try to put some positive spin on it, but he blew this already.
Mm-hmm.
He should have had him signed. If you want him around, these games at this age to be playing money games, what's the point? You know what the going rate is for a top receiver. You know what the going rate is basically for a top quarterback. Either you want to win or you don't. Yeah. And if he comes out and with Steve Jones, his son, the GM, and they're like, you know what? We trust our QB development program. We don't need to pay this much, and these are the reasons. We're going to get a young guy, and we're going to develop him. Okay, I'll buy it. I don't think you can do it.
Yeah.
But I'll buy if you have a reason behind it. But if it's just, hey, I'm the owner, he's the player, I control this.
Yeah.
Okay, you think you do. I don't think you do.
For me, you can go into the conversation on whether or not you think that Dak is a good fit for Dallas, right? People have their different opinions. I think Dak is a good quarterback, right? He has his...
Well, address what you said first, though. Is he a good fit? What does that mean?
Is he a good fit?
Because I'll read that as...
Shall I talk about...
It ain't just on the field, it's off the field. When you play for the Dallas Cowboys and you're the key figure on the team,
yes,
there's a certain level of responsibility as a leader that you have to have off the field. And if Mike McCarthy is like, gee, damn it, this guy's meddling all the time, they could have a vocal quarterback who could screw himself up by getting involved in the Jones gang games.
Mm-hmm.
Dak doesn't do that. So he actually is a great fit because he's kind of a low-profile guy. He's not going to sit there and war with Jerry Jones through the media.
But it doesn't even matter about you being a low-profile guy. They want to win games. They want to potentially win a Super Bowl. I don't think it matters about whether you being low-profile or not, because sometimes low-profile is not good as well. Sometimes it is good to speak up. Now, is it good to speak up with Jerry Jones? Probably not, because already knowing his persona, whatever goes with Jerry Jones, goes. It's his way or the highway. So it really can go...
Not with quarterbacks.
Not
when top 12 guys are so scarce.
But then why not pay Dak and then you run the potential of not having a quarterback or having to start over
with his ego's in the way.
That don't make any sense.
His ego's in the way. And I don't want to be ageist, but maybe he's starting to lose it a little bit.
No, his ego's definitely in the way. Hmm? I think that entire thing has always annoyed me. But, yeah, I can see why Mike McCarthy is fed up and he wants to get paid too. Come on now. We all trying to get paid out here.
Do you think egos got in the way in the start to the season for the Aces? They were a little too caught up in enjoying their two-time, championship run here, going for three, being told no one can compete with them, talking trash on the Liberty wilting afterwards and complaining that the Aces were disrespectful.
I think ego got in the way a little bit. An interesting thing that AJ Wilson had said is winning disguises a lot of stuff, right? So I think when they were winning all of these games, it was disguising and blinding a lot of what the other teams were doing. And now that other teams are actually – things are making sense, right? The game is catching up to everybody. They got a wake-up call. They're understanding how to beat the Las Vegas Aces. So I definitely think it was an ego thing. Come on now. You win two championships in a row. You're going to have an ego. And sometimes you got to have someone knock that door down. And I'm a Las Vegas Aces fan, but I'm seeing from an outside perspective the way that the team has transitioned from then to now.
Do you like the new AJ Wilson logo?
No.
Ooh! I'm looking at the video
at
reveal. So I definitely see a Nike swoosh.
Where's the star? Where's the star in the logo?
I don't see anything else. I see like kind of a blobby X. And then
the
a
logo
rectangle.
Is inspired by her distinctive style, which, everybody has their own distinctive style. But okay. To me, that I'm so confused at looking at that logo. And you know what, guys, the most interesting part? She's been wearing this logo on a chain on her necklace since January.
Oh, she has?
So people that have been being her photographer for these many months have been pulling up old pictures and saying, dang, how did you trick us? You were wearing this whole time and it was in plain sight in front of us. And now you present this as your logo? Like, she's been wearing this logo. It just hasn't been appealing to the human eye, at least to my human eye. So I haven't paid any attention to it until now.
What do you think of the mini run now with Chelsea Gray back there They've won two straight. Just took out the Connecticut Sun, who came into the game at, what, 13-2?
Mm-hmm. So. I love the slow start, right? I think Becky Hammon's putting her in positions to have a slow start, to be able to use her IQ and put her teammates in better positions, which is needed, right? She's not going to come out just, you know, 30 points in a game. Like, you got to start off a little bit more to what you can handle at that moment, especially being out as long as you have been.
Yeah, they got to get her stamina up. But I love what she brings. And I was saying last week, I don't know that she's ever going to have to score 30 points again mm-hmm. in a game, here and there.
Yeah.
Because Jackie Young, if healthy, and now she is such a good offensive player. Asia Wilson's now taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Plum playing off the ball can be really dangerous. So maybe Chelsea Gray can be in a little bit, you know, of a different role, more of a pure point guard. So we'll see how it works out. I would expect them. I don't think they're storming from here, you know, to what are they, 14 games in? You got 26 games left.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are going to be some difficulties after they go to the Olympics. I've talked about that. Four players going to the Olympics, stamina-wise, when they get back, most of the league will be fully rested and crazy, you know, chomping at the bit, ready to go.
Yeah.
And these ladies are going to come back, probably having won the gold, but got to get back on the floor and go against a league that wants to rip your head off.
It's going to be a long stretch for these ladies. I will say that, because you're preparing for the Olympics. That's the highest level that you can possibly imagine. And then have to come back after that with no rest. And mind you, everybody else is getting rest. Caitlin Clark's getting her rest. You know, since you love Caitlin Clark, I got to bring her up. you know, all these ladies are getting their rest. So it's definitely going to be tough. But yeah, Asia's been balling. Last game, 26 points, 16 rebounds. Come on now. Like, I love Asia Wilson. I might not love her logo, but I love how she plays.
So let's correct that a little bit, right? About, I love Caitlin Clark. I love talking about Caitlin Clark. I like watching Caitlin Clark play. I like the storylines around her team. I really like Angel Reese. I love the fact that she's outspoken. Team Reese, if she has one, basically like, hey, there's no rules on what you can say. Mm-hmm. Team Clark, I think they're carefully crafting an athlete here, and they're like, don't go outside your boundaries. Just don't do it. So you need players like this. And clearly, Clark had a lot more popularity coming into the league. But Reese, because she's a villain, is gaining notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
But with that is popularity, because people want to watch. And she went out over the weekend, and she had been hammered by one Jason Whitlock, who loves to get in this mix. And she went out and had 25 points and 15 rebounds. And they won the game because they were 0-2.
Yeah.
Against the Fever to this point. They had a really good crowd in the, you know, people say like, oh, the game should have been moved to United Center. The gym they're in is still a pretty big gym. It holds over 10,000. And we've kind of lost perspective here on when they're getting 17,000, 18,000, 20,000 plus in Washington. This is such a change from like 3 years ago. Even last year, half the league drew less than 5,700 per game. Even in those crowds that are 3,000 and 4,000, they were papering part of the house. That's free tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a monumental leap up. I mean, we get a little hypercritical when it's like, oh, they didn't move it to the bigger building. It's still 10,000 plus in Chicago, or 9,000 plus in Chicago. So last week, the dude Whitlock said that Angel Reese is the most overrated athlete in all of sports. ESPN's Stan Verrett got a little angry and said, in other words, he's speaking for Whitlock. I never really saw her play before. I decided to attack her needlessly because I knew it would play well with the anti-black audience. I'm desperately seeking to retain some relevance after my many firings. Stan Verrett said, I fixed that for you.
That is insane.
Which part?
The whole entire thing.
But this is another, I mean, this is a
clout.
A microcosm of what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have brought. This has always been a good window to build athletes, put out headlines, develop a fan following. That's why that Elle Duncan thing we play all the time, where she's like, they're taking the effing life out of the league. There were other storylines. The other storylines are around. Mm-hmm. This is sports. This is good for sports. I was asking you earlier about men coming to the game now that had never come to the game. Robert Griffin's flipping out yesterday because down the stretch, Caitlin Clark's not getting the ball in key possessions. We didn't see any of this commentary. This is all good. I can't say this enough. because it's still going, right? Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, it'll last like 3 weeks. No, it has all the necessary points to make basketball interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about basketball that people love is not necessarily on the floor. It's the rivalries. It's the trash talk. It's the storyline setting things up. And this one is perfect, and it's slowly, like, Angel Reese is going to piss off. I mean, already the league, there's many people around the league who are like, F Caitlin Clark, let's get her, right?
Yeah.
We want to beat her. She's not ready for the league. It started with Diana Taurasi before the season. And now I'm sure there's a lot of people who watch Angel Reese and they're like, okay, you think you're going to be tough against our team?
Mm-hmm.
So people are going at her. That is awesome for the league. It's the first time ever that the masses are paying attention to the WNBA.
Yeah, which I would agree with, but are people speaking from their own biases and their own emotions, or are they actually watching the game? But because to say, going back to his point, that Angel Reese is, what did he say? What was the terminology that he used?
He said the most overrated athlete
overrated,
in all sports.
Right. To say that, you clearly haven't been watching the game. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, she's leading the league in offensive rebounds, which is awesome. I don't know what rating he's going on. I mean,
he's going off of an emotional clout perspective.
She's a 12-point. Well, first of all, it's a bit. So that's the other thing we have to understand is Stan Verrett is right. He's picking Angel Reese to make into a bigger villain because that's going to satisfy his audience.
I hate that narrative.
It's part of sports.
That's such.
You want to make money? You got it. It may not be pleasant to be part of it.
That is such a poor journalistic viewpoint. And
he's not a journalist.
Or just to get clout, we'll say. To me, that's such.
He's not a journalist. He's an entertainer.
I don't get it.
We all have to make a decision when we do this. If you're going to do sports talk radio, you can stick to the letter of the law, be a journalist, because you know you have to face the people you're speaking to. You can amp it up and have bits, or you can go full bit.
Or you can talk trashy nonsense and think that just because you're getting the clicks and the views and the clout, it's going to bring you money. Like, that part's annoying to me. Because he's an entertainer, but we are actually real journalists.
I don't know if I am a real journalist.
Well,
and sometimes I am.
You
sometimes
like sport. You love sports. That's your passion. You've been doing it for what? How many? 20 plus years?
Yeah.
You get what
I
mean?
I think
a different standpoint that we come and when we approach these topics. A person who's just going to speak off their emotions who have never even been watching the game, that's why I get what L. Duncan said. Like, I get that. I do understand that because there are so many different narratives and topics that we can take, although that this is the most popular one right now.
Right.
Because it is. And it gets the most views and the ratings and the likes and the clicks. I get it.
I don't agree with him. Like, I think she's pretty good.
Yeah,
me too. I have to go back and get the audio because then I will make the – see, I'll admit right now I'll do a bit. When I find the audio, and I have to go back to around the day of the WNBA draft or the day before, and I said it multiple times, I'm like, I don't understand why Angel Reese is not the number two pick in the draft. She's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out, she has no jumper, so she can't face the basket yet. Who cares? She's the equivalent of, you know, I don't know, like a Charles Oakley, because she's, in the end, like someone who's 6'3", essentially is about a 6'8", dude. She's... You know, she's got some bulk on her. She's tough. She pushes people out of the way. She's a great offensive rebounder. And she can be an enforcer. Those players are revered in the NBA, right?
And she has the mouth on her. She has the attitude. And that's really, truly what people like, right? Like, okay, they say Caitlin Clark, how she wasn't to be looked at as the person in this, like the innocent one, because she has a mouth on her, too. Mm-hmm. That's just the game of basketball. Like, you are going to talk trash. And if you're not... Like, I'm a competitor. I might want to talk trash, too, if I played the sport.
Right. Hey, man. If I'm an athlete and I'm in the crosshairs and people are, whatever, overrated, I can't do this, I can't do that. If I'm getting paid.
I'm going to let my game do the talking, period.
We made the point last hour. Don't look at social media. And if Angel Reese wants to look at social media and that motivates her and she can still play, then good for her. But I think what's happened to the WNBA has been fantastic. It's bringing eyes. I'm still waiting for the ratings number here. We'll see if there's another update. But I think yesterday's game did boffo numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll mention this one last thing. Like, you keep throwing out, and I see a lot of people throw it out, and Stan Verrett threw it out. Like a guy like Whitlock, he's not watching the game. How do we know what he's watching or what he watched in the past? Or I would argue now, how much of the games do you have to watch? If you see some of the best plays, you do a little deeper dive. That kind of covers it. He's not going that deep on he thinks she's overrated, right?
Okay. I could see if you want to take...
I mean, should he watch every minute of every game to see some of the other skills
in
basketball?
If you want to take that standpoint from it as well, but it's also looking at her career from college to now a professional team, the WNBA. I think it's a span of things where you can look at it. And then also, like I said, it's the emotional side of it. Like, are you really looking at it from these years or are you looking at it from now, you know? So it literally can go a thousand different ways if you make it sound like that.
I don't think covering the WNBA needs to be some exclusive club. I think media people who have been around make a mistake thinking like, hey, this is my sport. Now all these bigger voices are coming in. Good. Do you want to get paid? You want to have a job?
I do agree. I love the big voices. I love the big voices talking
about
it.
Just bigger numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Celebrities filling the entire front row. Like, come on now. You've never seen that until now. And obviously the Las Vegas Aces and their two championships, the playoffs, like you see it then, but now we're seeing it at such early point in the season.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I missed the signal. I watched Alanis Morissette during the break singing the national anthem, U.S. national anthem, before the Panthers and the Oilers. Puck is dropped 2 minutes in. Game 7. What a freaking setup. Panthers out to a 3-0 lead in the series, then lost the next three. So we got a game 7 in Florida. Looks like there are, way too many Oilers fans' colors near the glass. But, yeah, Alanis Morissette, U.S. national anthem, and maybe before the show we can find a replay somewhere. I only saw a couple tweets. One person, a Canadian, saying, wow, it's great to see a Canadian singing the Canadian national anthem. And then someone else said, Alanis Morissette, ugh, didn't do a good job. So she was good on the U.S. national anthem. Solid. Strong close. A little breathy. Doing back-to-backs probably tough. I can't sing, so I don't know. It's probably nerve-wracking too, right? For a crowd
imagine.
Like that, right, Nye?
I could imagine. Oh, my gosh. Especially singing, you know, because it could be any point where you hit the wrong note and you don't actually mean to do that. But I'm sure she killed it.
How about remembering the lyrics back to back for two iconic songs and people are watching, making sure you don't blow it?
I think that's the hard part to do, though.
No?
Because if you do that as a profession, you're going to learn the songs long in advance.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Months in advance. She's been preparing for this for months.
I've been singing forever,
an entire year.
I need the screen in front of me.
Yeah.
I mean karaoke. So.
Well, that's why you're on the mic of talking about sports and not singing.
Not singing. God, I wish I could, though.
God knew where to put you, okay? Not in that profession.
It's very frustrating. Maybe I can work on it. A vocal coach. All right, so J.J. Redick was introduced today officially as the Lakers coach. There was a press conference. I'll give you a couple of quotes. One that people were tweeting was a little filthy for my virgin ears. Give me your take on the hire. So this took like 3-4 weeks of speculation. Then Redick, to be clear, the NBA finals. And now he's hired. You know, the optics are, hey, it's LeBron's guy. So?
I don't really know how I feel about this because I am a Lakers fan. I've been following the team since I was a very young girl. You can look at it from a perspective of he is a podcaster. He used to play the game. Now he's going to run this franchise who continues to fail at even retaining a head coach. Or you could look at it the perspective as he knows the game really well. He runs a successful podcast with LeBron James, and they speak about the game very, very critically on this particular podcast. And he has experience. He knows what it's like to be in the player's shoes. So he could be a good coach. Or LeBron James really going to be running the team? How is that relationship going to go? Are they going to continue the podcast? Like, there's many things that I'm thinking about.
Dunsky.
Okay, they're done?
Redick said, more podcasts. If they continue to do a podcast, that would be the height of absurdity.
That would be insane.
It'd be crazy.
So, yeah, I don't really know how I feel until it actually plays out. And, you know, I can't be against it because it's like the Raiders. You know, they have Antonio Pierce, a player who used to play the game, is now running a team, and he's never been a head coach before. J.J. Redick is now, except that. That's not the same, though. it's literally not the
but
same.
Do you think it's weird? Because Antonio Pierce did spend a good amount of time as an assistant. Do you think it's weird that, like, if we called Antonio Pierce former high school coach all the time, would that be as weird as calling J.J. Redick podcaster as the first thing in his description? I saw a couple people over the weekend who were like, all right, with the podcaster thing. He's been in broadcasting for a handful of years. He played the game at a high level. What do you have, 1,500 or 1,800 plus, whatever he had, three-pointers in the NBA. He's a good player. He's a former player.
Mm-hmm.
He's no different than lots of former players, and there's not a ton of them, but there are more than a handful who didn't really have coaching experience and got a job in the NBA.
Yeah.
So now the question is, like, Jason Kidd could be the model, but it also took Jason Kidd three stops.
And he had to fail plenty of times before getting to where he is now.
No room for failure here. This is a team of now with LeBron James on the team. So that's when you're measuring it as a Laker fan, do you have time to let this guy grow? Or is he going to be – the other thing here is can he be part of – I'll restate it. One of my biggest problems – by the way, Florida just scored. So 1-0 Panthers up early.
Okay.
One of the frustrating things, Nye, about LeBron James teams down the stretch here, but especially the Lakers, is it feels like LeBron has way too much GM in power.
Way too much.
Right? It's important for your best player to like your coach, right? For everyone who's like, LeBron James, I can't believe he got to pick the head coach. Magic Johnson did too, and then they went on a run with Pat Riley. So it's happened before, right? Powerful players get to indirectly pick their coach. This one seemed a little more odd because he was doing a podcast. So J.J. Redick has a favorable position with LeBron James. What if that favorable position also means that when GM LeBron James wants something, that he can actually be talked off the ledge by J.J. Redick, who he trusts, to go, bro, this ain't it? Because I don't know that there's ever been anyone around who could tell LeBron, like, no, we don't want to trade this guy. We don't want to bring in, you know, another veteran who's 38. Listen to me. This is why it works. Can Redick actually curry enough favor? Is he in the good graces of LeBron James to actually convince him on personnel to not make stupid moves?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say yes.
That was a long setup. I'm sorry it took so long.
No,
but,
it's okay.
But I'm thinking it through. Like, maybe that's the best part of J.J. Redick is the offseason and the setup of this team. They don't have any margin for error. They have to get it right. And when I see rumors out there, about the Lakers being interested in Chris Paul, for what? For, like, is he going to make $2 million? Like, if that were the case, like, if he's on the cheap, then okay.
Yeah.
But if this is one of the moves that kind of saps him from a salary cap standpoint, no, I don't want Chris Paul.
Yeah. Agreed. But, you know, I don't think your overall question is long. I think it's an honest question because as a Lakers fan, the Lakers have been through 7 head coaches since Phil Jackson, 2011. So you would have to think, is LeBron's relationship going to alter the way that J.J. Redick approaches being a head coach for this organization? It probably is going to have its time. We're honestly going to see it play out. I think LeBron has a big voice. It is annoying to me that he does, but you're right. You know, great players do big things. They have big voices. They make moves and decisions in the building, whether we agree with it or not.
Just anyone who could rein them in a little bit. Let's do our ticket giveaway. I promised it a while ago. 2 tickets, Blink 182, 364-1100, caller 7, July 3rd show at T-Mobile. Blink 182 is in town. AXS.com is where you can grab your tickets, but caller 7 right now, 364-1100, 364-1100 for tickets to see Blink 182. All right, so that's one of the positives. I don't know what kind of head coach J.J. Redick is going to be. I don't know what his assistant staff look like quite yet, but that would be one of the positives. I would like to see – I don't want J.J. Redick having final say, but someone else in the building.
Who else, though? The ownership is a problem.
Yeah, you know, the Lakers are interesting. Well, one, I can't hammer them as a – I can't just hammer Pelinka, and I know people like to do that, because I don't ultimately know who's making the decisions.
Yeah.
Is it LeBron? Is it Clutch? Is it Pelinka? Is it a combination? Another voice in that mix could be
Jeannie Buss.
A good thing. I mean,
she's in that mix as well.
I think Jeannie's biggest thing is with the head coach. I don't think Jeannie's making personnel decisions, but maybe. I don't know. I hope not.
Why not?
Because she is not a personnel person, and I would hope those people have the biggest sway on making decisions.
Yeah.
I don't think any, I don't think any owner should be involved in personnel decisions. You give us the money. Okay? You want to recruit the player and talk about what a quality organization is, and we're going to treat you right near the facilities. That's your role. But Jerry Jones, as I made reference earlier this hour to George Steinbrenner, you know, Mark Cuban's kind of out of the mix now. None of you. Okay? You be the superstar to draw the player. If we say we want the player in personnel, let the experts do their job. Right?
Yes, I agree.
The personnel people are not going to Genie going, hey, you know what? I have a good promotional idea. Here's a good business idea. Get out.
But I could imagine not it's not like that. Like, I still feel like owners still have a say. They still have a word. Whether they even understand what's going on. Most of them probably don't even understand what's going on. Let's just be real. Like, they don't, you know? I feel like, okay, if we're looking from an owner's perspective, I feel like Mark Davis for the Raiders, I don't think he really understands what's going on, but he at least allows his, you know, he allows them to make the decisions that they do. I would say that would be more of an example. I don't think he puts his nose in where it belongs, but it shouldn't go.
I don't think he does it either, but I don't know for sure.
True. We never know.
Well.
We live in a world of unknowns.
I think you know which organizations where the GM has ultimate power. I would say the Eagles, their GM has power. Their owner, Jeffrey Lurie, I think enjoys owning the team. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is making – there might be – every once in a while you have to kick it upstairs. Like, hey, you know, we're going to spend a draft pick on a guy who's got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a PR disaster. Is it worth it? Like, stuff like that you run by him, but I don't think you're – you know, hey, should we take – you know, which of these cornerbacks do we need to take in the second round? So they wound up taking a couple. Couple of things from the J.J. Redick press conference today. J.J. Redick said he wants LeBron James to take more threes next season. He did shoot 41%. That was a career best during his 20th season. J.J. Redick is going, he's already said, I want more threes. The game is three-based.
Yeah.
We got a space, we want more threes. Which also should suggest that the Lakers, well, one, need more defensive players, but two, have to be able to spread the floor, and when they do pitch it inside, or LeBron's inside, or AD's inside, there has to be outlets. If they get doubled or something's being shut down, throw it out and believe in the people on the outside to make a three.
And that's what they don't have right now.
Not enough of them.
Not enough of them, and not enough of them that are actually not afraid to go up and make those shots and do it immediately. You get the ball, you jump up, you make. We don't have the Lakers. Do not have that. I'm going to say we. The Lakers do not have that. So we'll
you
see.
You can say
what
we if you want.
We'll see what J.J. Redick can do this offseason and what he can do in the draft. But he doesn't really have that much time as far as the draft. We'll
Should he go to work right away? I've seen some ideas out there from pretty influential Laker media people who said, you know what, because J.J. Redick hasn't coached, let's make him coach the summer league team.
Ooh, that is a very good – I actually kind of like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
You sure?
Put him out in the deep end. You got to put him out in the water to drown at some point. And he's going to have to find his way up. And in that position, come on now. It's still a big platform, so you're going to find your way up.
I don't think it's a big platform. I actually think he'd be really insulted.
Why?
It's a summer league team.
But why, though?
It's going to be all young guys and
do you think it's because they already have what they have established? Like, the summer league has what they have established every single year. You kind of know what to expect. You think that J.J. Redick can't handle it. He's not ready. Like, what's your perspective?
I just think it's disrespectful. If he volunteers, if he says, hey, I want to be in every area of the organization, so I'm going to coach the team.
Yeah.
Actually, if I were the GM, I'd be like, dude, we need you to have a bigger view. You're not coaching the summer league team. I don't think it's a great idea.
Okay, how about, like, assistant coach?
On the summer league team?
Yeah, more than one.
He's going to meet with the team and the coach and the assistant coaches from the summer league team, I'm sure, before and after every game. He's there.
Yeah.
And now if he was like, you know, the podcast wore me out. It's a press conference. I'm kind of tired. Sorry, man. I already planned a vacation. You know what? Cancel it. It's time to work.
It's time to work.
Like if that was the case. He was asked today at the press conference. We're talking about J.J. Redick, officially the Lakers coach. Press conference this afternoon. Someone asked if he wants to prove any misconceptions wrong that he was hearing from critics in the media. And he bluntly responded, I really don't give an F. All right.
Well, that's the way that you want to start off your coaching debut. Then you do it, sir.
What do you think of him cussing?
I think it's unprofessional because you've been in this space before, so you know how to act.
Now you're one of the critics.
Yeah, come to the podium and know how to act and know how to speak. You think that you can speak your emotions by cursing? Like, come on now. You don't have to. If you feel like that's the only way to get out your emotion, then by all means, you do it. But I don't agree with it.
So I will let you
represent this franchise the way it should be represented. I'm a Lakers fan.
I have to respect the opinion. Okay. So no bad language. Thumbs down already.
Thumbs down.
Bro, carry yourself a certain way. It's the Lakers.
Professional.
Text in right now. The code word of the day, 364-1100, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. That is our text line. We're doing our summer of fun. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. We're giving away 8 trips in 8 weeks. This week's trip, the end of the week, someone will win a trip to Nashville, 6-day, 5-night in Nashville, get a Jack Daniel's distillery tour, get spending cash, or there is an overall cash option. But to get in, all you got to do is text. They're in the shows, 702-364-1100, the code word, and there's a fresh one every day. The code word today is party. Party is the code word. Text it in. Your chance to get in the Lotus Summer of Fun brought to you by Planet Nissan. Code word, party.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
If you want to hear Stanley Cup game number 7, you can hear it on Raider Nation Radio today. That's 9:20 a.m. We've got a 1-1 game between Edmonton and Florida. The game is at Florida. Can't wait to see the version by Alanis Morissette of O Canada. We'll see how she did. About 6 minutes left, 1-1. Everything on the line. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
USA Men's Soccer wins this weekend against Bolivia. 2-0. Panama on Thursday in Atlanta. Close group play against Uruguay on July 1st in Kansas City. And we've got 2 games here this week, Wednesday and Friday. And by the way, that's Copa America that Team USA is playing in. We've got 2 games this week, Wednesday and Friday. The Owl should be hopping for that one. Ecuador and Jamaica. And Paraguay and Brazil. So big week on the way. We'll have some guests on to cover Copa America, UFC 303. We'll get a couple of fighters later in the week. Tomorrow we'll preview Commissioner's Cup. And, of course, NHL and NBA draft at the end of the week. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Okay. We need some hard takes here. Some good takes. Or it might be no take because you're not interested. We'll see. Is there anyone in the room who doesn't want Quincy Wilson, who races in about an hour and 10 minutes? He's a 16-year-old from D.C. He's running the 400. He qualified for the finals by finishing third in the semis yesterday. Is anyone mean enough in the room to have a take?
Oh, we're rooting for him.
Are we?
We're rooting for him.
You are?
Yes, I am. And I'm making Griffin.
I don't. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yes.
Oh, he actually paused for a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why wouldn't we?
Today is a benevolent day on Cofield and Company. Some days are just full conflict, and there could be someone rooting against Quincy Wilson. But no, I'm in.
Yeah, you better not. I would get on you if you did.
Well.
Him, okay, let's give him
the props. It's a 16-year-old. You really can't find any angle to get on him.
You can't, and he's putting himself out there in front of the world to do this at the biggest stage possible. So I'm rooting for him, and it's rare. You never see this stuff happen.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Yeah, that semifinal win, he set the record in the for under 18, the world record.
Mm-hmm.
Max Crosby, busy. Recent times, big donation to his school, Eastern Michigan. Got Crosby Field. There was a big ceremony.
I loved it. That was awesome. And you know what I loved more about it? Was that this school sent him a layout of the field. And instead of calling it Max Crosby Field, he wanted to call it Crosby Field so that it could be dedicated to his and his wife. And to me, being in the shoes of an athlete, your wife plays such a pivotal role in your life and in your success. So I love to see that he gave credit to her. I love that. That was awesome. And he made the field gray. Like, you know, he wanted to be portraying to the Raiders silver and black.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Every day I look at people and I look at TMZ. That's how much I love sports. I see a fashion show. Featuring Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson. First of all, no one in the room is anti male athlete fashion show, because I see that stuff, like that Met Gala, there were some dudes in that, and I see sometimes there are men who are still not comfortable in whatever, their masculinity, sexuality, their anti-fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't do it. The clothes won't sit on me well. But this is a good thing, right? The Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson, if they want to do a fashion show, you do it.
It's a great thing.
Okay.
I love it, because you should be able to express yourself outside of the game, and that's exactly what they're doing.
I physically have almost no good features. My calves are okay, and I don't show it off much, but man, I'm yoked on the back.
Husky.
I have like a – oh, no, that wasn't what I meant, a husky. I like that word. She came right out. But my it's a beautiful back. I'm lying. If I had a great back, do I want to go with this Joe Burrow backless jacket?
Hideous.
I was wondering, are they trolling us? Is this a new look?
It looks terrible.
Yeah.
I get you wanting to start trends and you want, you know, express yourself through fashion. That's not the way to do it. A backless suit jacket.
Well, you guys got to wear them. A little backless dress.
Because backs are just nice when it's a lady's back. Like, and it's just out. Like, I like that look. But for a backless suit,
I'm not going to
break.
Do I go here? I'm not going to say this is very mean.
Give it to me.
Well, I'm not going to say I don't have skin tags, not to get, and I need to get them removed, a couple. I was sitting at the ballpark the other day, about five rows in front of me. There was a lady who had an inordinate amount, if I can say the word, of skin tags on her back.
Uh-huh.
That's all I have to say. You said it works on everyone. It doesn't work on everyone.
Okay.
What?
Okay, you're right. I guess it just depends on your circumstances,
right,
of the way that you were.
Just like, I'm not going to wear Joe Burrow backless. I don't have the back for it.
So
we can all admit that.
You had to say that.
Well, I was looking, and I was trying not to be mean, and I was like, eh.
I mean, and that's a condition that you can't help but to have unless you get them removed,
yeah,
right? And they pop up on you sometimes at random times of your life.
I'll tell you what. I'm not saying that I enjoyed it, but I feel like the ladies who were with me, those Savannah banana guys, some of them, they're pretty built up. There was a guy I was like, dude, put your shirt on.
I looked
okay
at their Instagram.
He's out there flexing in the ninth inning.
Up.
I'm like, okay, come on. I'm trying to watch a game here.
Is the Savannah Bananas like, is this like an entertainment for ladies or something? Because it's like a baseball version of the male strip club out here.
It's not Chippendales, but they have some moments where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But their mascot, they had a mascot there that was named Farty. It was PH.
Farty.
Yeah, they just play fart noises randomly. And a lot of music. And, hey, they've sold out LV Ballpark for back-to-back years now. They sold out Fenway, the actual main Bananas club. And they tour the country on weekends. And
yeah,
they play all these minor league and major league parks. It's pretty cool.
Which is awesome. They're making paper from that.
They're making baseball fun,
mm-hmm,
which, go figure.
Yeah.
Right? It's not stuffy and rules of baseball and can't play music when guys are up and just have fun.
I picture, like, I obviously haven't seen them in person, but I picture, like, a baseball version of High School Musical. And I don't really
it might
care
not
for
be
that
that much.
I don't really care about
let's,
that.
Let's go, like, Harlem Globetrotters playing baseball.
Okay.
Just but baseball inherently is slower, so it's not as good as the Globetrotters. But so that's kind of the theme. Back
I'm
in
just
there?
Spicing it up.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I want to see how judgmental you are. I was talking about skin tags. Former UFC fighter Paige Van Zandt has retired from fighting. Her basic job now is her OnlyFans account. Should we be happy for her? I'm happy for her, and I'd say this. She rose to a certain level of attention by getting punched in the face. She's out of fighting. She made a little bit of money. And I'm assuming now she's making lots of money. And if she wants to do OnlyFans, do what you want. I don't care. It doesn't affect my life.
Do what you want, because it doesn't affect my life, but it is very sad.
Oh, no.
This is how low women go. You're making so much money from OnlyFans and showing yourself.
Female empowerment.
Wow. Hey, I empower my women, but not with your clothes being taken off.
Bonus question.
Get it together.
Text
line. Stick your hand in there, Dave.
702-364-1100 is the text line. Really quick, like 15 seconds. Best sporting event to take a date to.
I would say overall, a hockey game, because you don't even have to know what's going on. It's just a vibe. All the good snacks, the good atmosphere. If I were to say right now, probably a Las Vegas Aces game. That's a vibe.